Well, we receive the morning tithes and offerings now, giving you the opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God. Did anyone ever tell you that the kingdom of God is a sure way to get good return and dividend on your investment? It clearly is. God's kingdom is worth investing in, and we want to follow the Lord through the tithe that He has asked of us, first fruits of our labor, as well as offerings to support other ministries that we so value. So thank you for your faithfulness in giving. Lord, we're grateful for the cause of Christ. We're grateful for the opportunity that you have given us to partner with you related to that which you care about most, your kingdom. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to clearly get to that place in our lives where we find that joy in giving, where we know that we know that we know it's more blessed to give than to receive. Thank you, God. Help us to continue to develop giving hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Memorial Day was established to honor all Americans who died while serving in the country's armed forces. I love the fact that we honor those who have sacrificed so much that we can enjoy our freedom. In recent years, I thought it has really been cool to see the organization Honor Flight honor America's veterans by transporting the heroes to Washington, D.C. to visit and reflect at their memorials. Top priority has been given to the senior veterans, World War II survivors, and also those who are terminally ill, veterans that are facing life's challenges. Providing veterans with honor and closure. Honor. Honor. The Bible speaks about giving honor. Now, we are in a six-week family series titled Family Matters, and we started on Mother's Day and we'll conclude on Father's Day. And we are addressing different aspects related to the family. And today, I want to address the idea of honor, particularly within the family, but we'll also touch on areas outside the family. When we speak of honor, it has the idea of showing esteem, showing respect, assigning value to, showing honor, which means treating an other respectfully because we value them highly. We live in a culture and an age of dishonor. There is an erosion of honor, it seems, in our society. All you need to do is turn on the TV and you see this great amount of disrespect for different people groups. Surf the channels and you see the incredible disrespect from shows like Jerry Springer, which comes with fights and flying chairs and accusations and bleeped out expletives hurled by and at participants. And there's soap operas and many sitcoms that seem to fare no better. Even some children's cartoons often reflect insults and dishonor of others. If we are not careful, we can begin to think and talk the same way, dishonoring others. Nobody is safe from attack or of being dishonored. Not the presidency. Not members of Congress, not school teachers, not law enforcement officers, This is an irreverent and disrespectful age. It's time to see what God says about honoring others. Something very different from our culture and what our culture and society seems to be directed toward. One thing that is refreshing for me right here, as I'm around our French Africans here at Meadowbrook, I've been impressed with the words they use to respect one another, especially those who are older than they are. I remember the first time I heard Papa Remy or Papa Jack or Papa Bienvenu or Papa Abai, and then I heard Mama Francois and Mama Charlotte, and I thought, that surely couldn't be their father. No, that's not their father. That couldn't be their mother. They look too young for that biological role. But they use that title all of the time out of respect. But I discovered it's a title of respect, a title of endearment. Other societies have special words of honor reserved for the elderly. Even an older brother or sister is called by a special term of honor in some cultures. Some people, particularly I think of the Asian culture, have a tradition of bowing to others out of respect and deference. Yet we seldom see the like in our enlightened country. I'm sure Deb Eisenman and Hannah and Steve-O, as they're in China right now, are experiencing some of that culture of respect that is there. But a study of the Bible with a concordance reveals just how much God has to say about honoring others. He does not limit it to honoring our parents. Romans 13:7 tells us clearly, honor is due certain ones. It says in Romans 13:7, render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. That begs the question, to whom is honor due? To whom is honor due besides God? And how do we honor others? Well, first of all, we are called to honor parents. Of the Ten Commandments, the last six of the Ten Commandments deal with our relationship to other people. A society built on a solid family unit where dads and moms are honored will be a society that will likely also obey the last five commandments that has to do with other relationships. So honoring others comes easier when children are raised to honor their parents. Likewise, a society that honors its parents will conduct itself honorably. Now the fifth commandment reads, honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Exodus 20:12. Now, God states no qualifier here. He does not tell us to honor them only if they are honorable. Simply because they are our parents, we must treat them with respect. In the New Testament, Paul repeats the same command again without reservation. In Ephesians 6:2, it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Jesus makes it clear several times that as an example, as a model, he honored his father. Granted, honoring parents can be sometimes difficult if a father is a drunk, or if a mother is a lying thief, their actions may sometimes be dishonorable. But because they are dad, And because they are mom, they are to be respected, honored, valued highly. The commandment has no loopholes. Thus, we need to take stock of ourselves on this point. Are we at odds with Dad? Are we angry with Mom for any of her actions? Is it time to set aside and listen to the fifth commandment? Is it time to heal? Is it time to restore? Is it time to rebuild a relationship and bring honor? When was the last time we really honored our father and mother? Honor our father and mother. The Bible also speaks about honoring our spouse. Those who are parents should understand how much easier it is to honor someone whose lives are lived in an honorable way. It certainly is easier to honor a father who openly respects his wife. Dads set the example for the whole family by showing honor to the woman God gave him to be the mother of his children. Peter admonishes this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says, "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." A husband should give his wife the impression that she is the finest in the land. The apostle links this with our salvation and relationship with God, that we honor our wife. God, is that important? It's that important. Proverbs 31:29 illustrates how a husband praises his wonderful wife. "Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all." It's important, husbands, that we ask ourselves, when was the last time I told my wife she's the best? If we desire an excellent wife, we must treat her as if she already is one. Then we can watch the miracle happen in the family. Men are often experts to find fault, at discovering what was not done just right. We're thinking we're helping out our mate by bringing correction, by helping them, by pointing out these things. Yet just the opposite happens. I don't need to have the men say amen on that. Just know that. Instead, we must try to find ways to praise, honor, encourage, and promote growth and joy in the hearts of our wives. Now, wives, you're not completely off the hook here either. The same Peter who tells husbands to honor their spouses also instructs wives to treat their husbands with respect. That's the standard. When children see Dad honoring Mom and Mom honoring Dad, they in turn find it much easier to honor father and mother. Beyond that, this powerful example teaches them how they should conduct themselves when they eventually will become a father or a mother, and they will have children. The third area here as well that the Bible speaks of regarding honor is to honor others, and I'm going to just cover a few of those briefly here. Honor goes way beyond just respecting a father and a mother. God wants a world where respect and honor of others is the way of life. Romans 12:10 tells us, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." Honoring one another touches all of our relationships. We think of bosses. Now, the scripture speaks about a master-slave relationship. And Paul says to Timothy in chapter 6, verse 1 of 1 Timothy, "All who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine will not be spoken against." we take that down to Paul speaking to today's culture, today's society, he would say, respect your boss. Respect him, even when he isn't a good one. Respect him. We're also to respect our spiritual elders. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. Respect for the ministry has eroded over the last decade or so. I think we would agree. And sometimes those who are serving as spiritual elders are clearly responsible for that. But whether we think we've earned it or not, their position requires respect. And then king or emperor or president is another area that the Bible addresses we're to give honor. In 1 Peter 2:17, it says, show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Now, in our context, Peter would be saying, honor the president. Now, a little historical perspective is really important here. Peter, having already written that we should honor all people, knew some brethren would resist honoring Nero, the emperor, the heathen Roman emperor. Nero was a perverted madman, eventually hated by the Romans themselves. He had mercilessly tortured and killed hundreds of Christians in various cruel and demeaning ways. It is very difficult to expect Nero to be honored by someone whose mother had been crucified and burned as a human candle for one of Nero's garden parties. The pattern that we have seen all along surfaces again here. Nero was king. A king is to be honored, for he represents the office given by God. Now, whether the king is honorable or not, he is king, and God says we should honor him as such. In our time, we see a dishonored presidency. We do not need details as we've heard them over and over. If Peter were writing today, he would say, honor the president. As good or as bad as the president has conducted himself in his office or in his personal life, and in office, Christians are to honor him. People are to honor him. However difficult may be the actions of our president, whether it be our current president, Donald Trump, or whether it be past presidents, it still pales besides Nero's life when we think about some of their actions that are less than being representative of the heart of what we want America to be. Many of whose actions are unprintable, regardless, Christians are still to honor the office and honor the individual in the office. Widows is another area the Bible speaks about honoring. Widows should be honored. 1 Timothy 5:3, honor widows who are really widows. Society so often abuses widows who, because they are vulnerable and often alone, are often victims of scams. And we need to note the widows amongst us and give them special respect, give them special attention. But in this family series, I'd like to focus the rest of the remainder of our time on honoring maybe those of grandparent age, the elderly. Leviticus 19:32 commands, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. Again, God includes no reservations or qualifiers. When was the last time we saw children and younger adults automatically stand when a senior citizen entered the room? God says, essentially, this should happen. It still does in parts of the world, again, especially in Asia, but not so in our country. Some people still rise today for women, which I think is very wonderful. Why do we not do this for the elderly? Imagine what our society would be like if everyone followed the principle of honor. Our culture will be sorely tested in the next 30 years or so, particularly when the number of gray-headed citizens will skyrocket. We are already seeing the beginning of the baby boomer retirement period. As life expectancies climb and millions of baby boomers get older, as I observe generations of families here at Meadowbrook and around our community, sometimes four generations, great-grandparents, grandparents, parents, children, I see that as so special. I see that as so wonderful. Somehow my eye just goes to that, and I admire that experience and that setting. And now, as Sandy and I are grandparents, I sometimes think about what I missed because I did not know any of my grandparents. They had all passed away before I was born. I'm missing what I believe, as I have observed life and others with grandparents, I'm missing what I believe could have been some wonderful memories and meaningful experiences, and also having learned some lessons from them along the way. As a pastor I know shared this, he said, when I was 26, a package arrived at my home accompanied by a note from my grandmother that simply read, "Take good care of this. It's very valuable." Inside the box was an object that at first did not seem like much. It was a rather small, somewhat tarnished metal pitcher, dented in several spots. It bore the marks of some tough tumbles. But on the pitcher's side was an inscription indicating that it had been the prize for a sailing race in which my great-great-grandfather had been a victor in 1901. On the bottom was an insignia I now know was the mark of a renowned silversmith. "Take good care of this," my grandmother had written. "It's very valuable." And he went on to say, "It seems a bit strange now that my grandmother felt that she needed to give me that console, that I wouldn't automatically recognize the worth of what I held in my hands. But if truth be told, I didn't fully at the time. I was living near Silicon Valley in the heyday of the tech revolution. Kids in garages were founding businesses that were changing the world. That which really shaped the future, it seemed, was in the minds and the hands of the young. America was a culture obsessed with the fresh face, the new idea. And in the midst of all this, a battered old pitcher and a grandmother's note seemed slightly tired and out of place." It could seem even more so that way in American life today. We are becoming a society where the word old is often used as irrelevant. We're told that we must develop new business models, new materials, new technical skills. We must constantly upgrade or get left on the shelf. And there's some truth to that. And it's important that we learn and we experience and grow with the new. We all know that living things must change and adapt. We grow or we die. God Himself delights in creativity, in deliberate diversity, in making all things new, Revelation 21:5. The word new is used in a very positive sense. 51 times in the New Testament alone. To follow Jesus is to be on a journey of renewal right up through our last breath on earth. It is to be an experience of renewal. But in and amidst the quest for the future, God did not intend for us to stop valuing the ancient too. In going for tomorrow's gold, we were never meant to stop treasuring the silver, especially the family kind. We need to be sure we create here at Meadowbrook and in our families a culture of honor. How can we do that? Well, we can do that by just saying thank you. Take our time to say thank you for the grace they've poured out over the years. When I was growing up, my father could have been included in the elderly category. He was 51 years of age when I was born. My dad today would be 114 years of age if he was still living. And growing up, when I was growing up, and those who had not met my dad, and he and I were together, they immediately always thought and said, "Is this your grandfather?" And I had a sense of embarrassment that I grew up with and lived with regarding my dad. He was a great dad in so many ways, yet I know I did not honor him in the way that I should have. Looking back, I'm sure he could have picked up on that. I live with that regret. I could have done so much more to communicate thank you for what he did and what he poured into my life, for doing his best to make a difference in me. I'm sure I could have made his eyes and face shine like freshly polished silver if I would have only communicated my gratitude in a complete way for who he was. But I was too insecure. I was too concerned about what others thought to honor my father as he deserved to be honored. Is there someone older around you who hasn't been thanked in a while? Maybe a very long time for the sacrifices he or she has made, for the gifts or services rendered, for the witness shown, for the work that's been done, for the grace they allowed God to pour through them to meet the needs of others. Decide today that you will be the one who says thank you. Thank you for being such a worthy vessel. Another way that we can honor is to spend time with them. Sometimes the best way to express gratitude to someone is simply to invest time with them. I like this cute, funny story about an elderly man who lay in the hospital with his wife of 55 years right beside him. And he asked her, "Is that you, Ethel, at my side again?" He whispered, and she said, "Yes, dear, I'm here." And he softly said to her, "Remember years ago when I was at the Veterans Hospital? You were there with me. Do you remember the time that we lost everything in a fire? You were there with me. And Ethel, when we were poor, you were right by me then too." The man sighed and said, "You know what, Ethel? I tell you this, you're bad luck." All kidding aside, though, one of the hardest things about growing older is a progressively fewer number of people who truly are there by your side. Struggling with busy lives, many of us younger folk neglect to make the calls or visits we should. I've noticed when I visit the elderly in the nursing home, how happy they seem to be to see you, and how they clutch your hand and they won't let your hand go. They just continue to hold on to your hand. We fail to stop long enough to hold the conversations that let our elders know that they haven't simply been shelved. The psalmist David, he wrote, Psalm 71:9, "Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone." In 1990, Japanese businesswoman Satsuki Hahiwa founded a very unusual enterprise, noticing that many elderly Japanese were increasingly isolated from their children by the frantic pace of contemporary life there. Ohiwa set up a company through which a lonely person could rent a family. For only $1,130, she said, "We will arrange for a surrogate son, daughter, and grandchild, whatever relative you want, to show up at your door and gush as if they haven't seen you in years. They'll share lunch with you, spend a few hours talking, handle an odd job or two, and if you like, and then bid you the best of days." The idea would be almost comical if it weren't for the fact that thousands of people hired Ohiwa's service. When asked why she believed her business had taken off, Satsuki said, "What is common about our clients is that they are thirsty for love." They had all reached some dark hour of their life, cried out in whatever ways they knew how to the people from whom they wanted love, and then finally picked up the phone and called the professionals. What a wonderful way to honor the elderly, by spending time with them. I know that Chuck and Di Curtis and John Norris, and I know that Diane Van Meter and all have a heart for the elderly and serve and minister, reach out to them in the nursing homes. What a valuable ministry. When God commanded us to honor our elders, he had deeper quality of love in mind. And also, we can honor them by just listening and learning. One of the most meaningful ways we can express love to our elders is simply to listen and to learn from their stories. That can be hard. Sometimes the stories they tell seem so divorced from life today, or so nostalgic, or they repeat them over and over and over again. Lyman Bryson says that the error of age is to believe that experience is a substitute for intelligence. But the error of youth is to believe that intelligence is a substitute for experience. Both are sorely needed. God plainly commands us to give our elders the benefit of the doubt on the intelligence end. The book of Proverbs says, Proverbs 19:20, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she's old. Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise." To the attentive person who is willing to listen, stories from stories of these seasoned saints will often share that are often shared will reveal themselves as the etching of God's wisdom upon the silver lining of our soul, and through the tarnish may make reading difficult, there's a message there for you and for me, friends. Let's be sure to glean wisdom and truth that values those who have lived longer than we. The psalmist must have had things he wanted the grandchildren to know. It says Psalm 71:17, "Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come." You'll know one day. One day you'll be most everybody's elder, possibly. And you'll be aching to pass on the wisdom you've gained. Wouldn't it be something if we could listen and learn now, humbly and patiently, as we will be wishing others would listen to us when we get there someday. If you want to show appropriate honor to your elders, say thank you. Invest time with them. Listen and learn from them. validate with compassion the dents and the difficulties that they have endured of life. Extend practical assistance where you can. Remind them of the good purpose of God. And as we conclude, and would you stand with me, please? Friends, most of all, we're to honor God. We're to honor God, and God is the one who's given us this heart to communicate honor to others. When we obey God's command to honor all people, we are following our heavenly King, and we're honoring Him as well. When we place value and esteem on others, we are showing value and honor to our heavenly King as well. I think John 12:26 is very powerful. Jesus says, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be also. If anyone serves me, him will my Father honor." Let's be people who give honor to others. Let's be a people who gives true honor to God. Value God for who He is in our lives and in our relationships. I'd like for us to just reflect on who God is, honoring Him as we conclude this morning, and maybe even allow your heart to think about those that just would be so right if you would just maybe take an extra step to honor that are in your life. People, whether that be a boss, whether that be the attitude you have toward a president, maybe it's related to your parents, maybe it's related to a widow, the elderly. However, let's be sure that we honor people. Let's sing together as we near conclusion.